Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us at this APHA scientific session, the National Public Health Accreditation, State Beta Test Sites, and Demystifying the FAB Self-Assessment. This is session 4250, but likely to be number one in your heart before you leave at 4 o'clock today. My name is Jim Pearsall, and I'm the Chief Program Officer for Public Health Performance at the Association of State and Territorial Health Officials. I'm happy to be your moderator for today's session. If you wouldn't mind, please put your cell phones on mute, and that will help us keep our attention. I'm here to tell you that we have no official disclosures to report. That's our story, and we're sticking to it. But we are recording this session. The topic of accreditation likely needs no introduction with you all. Hospitals, schools, and health plans have had their own accreditation systems for many years. In 2003, the Institute of Medicine report, The Future of the Public's Health, suggested the formation of a national steering committee of diverse public health stakeholders to explore the benefits of accrediting public health departments. This led to the Exploring Accreditation Project, which culminated in a set of recommendations for a voluntary public health accreditation program on a national scale as a way to ensure that all health agencies, whether large, small, urban, or rural, are providing a consistent level of public health service to residents of their jurisdictions based upon a set of accepted standards and measures. Ultimately, the Public Health Accreditation Board, FAB, was formed and incorporated in 2007. And during the past year, 30 state, local, and tribal health agencies have been participating in a beta test of this National Voluntary Public Health Accreditation Program. The beta test process required that health agencies conduct a self-assessment in which they evaluated themselves on the proposed accreditation standards and measures in 10 domains corresponding to the 10 essential services, and were then reviewed on a site visit of peers and colleagues. The beta test was monitored and evaluated by an outside research and evaluation contractor, and the Public Health Accreditation Board is currently incorporating the results of the beta test as it revises the National Standards Program. FAB anticipates revisions to the program will take a period of 6 months and plans to roll out national accreditation for public health agencies in the latter part of 2011. At this point, I think it's essential that we recognize that this work could not have happened without the financial support of the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation and the CDC Office of State, Tribal, Local, Territorial Support, who support both performance and accreditation projects like these nationwide. I would also like to take a moment to thank Tom Briggs before we start. Tom's sitting right here. He has been asked to lead on the beta test and is the organizer for this session. So thank you, Tom, for pulling this together. I will introduce each of our speakers, and then I'll turn the microphone over to them to share their perspectives on the beta test and accreditation. Following the last presentation, we will have a question and answer session in which all three panelists will take your questions. You should note, if you've looked at the program, that we'll be well protected during this session. We are bookended by two marshals and filled with joy in between. But let me introduce our panel. Our first presenter today will be Joyce Marshall. Joyce is from the Oklahoma State Department of Health. She is the director of the Office of Performance Management there, and in that role, oversees the development and direction of agency-wide performance management, strategic planning, and accreditation readiness activities for the department. Prior to this appointment, she served as a special assistant to the Deputy Commissioner of Family Health Services at the same health department. She received her Master's of Public Health in Health Administration from the University of Oklahoma College of Public Health. And additionally, she served as a 2005-2006 National Public Health Leadership Institute Scholar and a 2008 Management Academy for Public Health Fellow. Next, after Joyce, you'll hear from Joy Harris. Joy is the Modernizing Public Health in Iowa Coordinator. Now, I'd like to contrast that with what my staff typically say about me, which is the old way of doing things coordinator. But she is modernizing public health in Iowa. She has worked in her current position since 2007. She came to the Iowa Department of Health in 2002 and spent her first 5 years providing technical assistance to local environmental health programs. Our third and final presenter today is Donna Marshall from the Florida Department of Health. There, she is the Assistant Director of the Office of Performance Improvement and is responsible for the oversight and implementation of the department's unique statewide system of performance improvement, helping the State Health Department and 67 local county health departments improve their business processes and community health outcomes. She also has oversight of accreditation readiness activities for the department. As a registered nurse for 26 years, Donna has been involved with a variety of quality improvement and performance initiatives. She has been with the Florida Department of Health since 1998. During that time, she has advanced her credentials in quality management by earning successive certifications from the American Society for Quality. So as you can see, this is a very substantial panel. And the smiles you see on their faces, that's how it feels to be done with the accreditation process. So let me turn it over to Joyce. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. I'm pleased to be with you here today to share the experience as a state beta test site in Oklahoma with you. Hopefully share some lessons learned and also some things to make it more, some helpful tools and processes that'll make it an easier process for you as you're preparing for accreditation in your states. First of all, though, a little bit about Oklahoma. Well, no, we're too far. Okay.
I'm touching the buttons.
Oh, okay. You're just throwing me off there a little bit. Okay. They were moving by themselves, and I couldn't understand. All right.
It is mysterious.
So a little bit about Oklahoma. Not quite that mystifying, but we serve about 3.6 million Oklahomans. We have a centralized health department system for the Oklahoma State Department of Health with a state central office and 68 independent county health departments with 2,040 employees at 89 sites and a budget of about $377 million. About 60% of that is federal, so a large portion. We're governed a little differently than I know a lot of states are. We're governed by an appointed board of health, and our governor does appoint that board. They serve 9-year terms. And then we're led by a board-appointed commissioner of health as our leader of our agency. We also have, as a state, we actually do have a mixed structure because besides the centralized system, we also, our two largest metropolitan areas of Tulsa and Oklahoma City actually are autonomous city-county health departments. And Medicaid, Mental Health, and the Department of Environmental Quality are separate agencies in Oklahoma from the Department of Health. One of the first questions that we came to was, as many will, was whether to apply or not to apply. That was kind of our question because the very same almost day that the announcement came out from FAB for beta test sites, we had a new leader of our agency, a new commissioner who had just started. And he was just coming on that week. The organization was being reorganized. Our agency was going under a complete reorganization. We had just got significant state budget cuts, and we're told that we should expect more throughout the year. We had a mixed centralized structure, which we already knew from reviewing the draft standards that they were set for a little more for the decentralized structure so that we knew there'd be some challenges there. And so we really had to weigh all of these items and decide how we were going to go before our new commissioner, who we had not met yet, to actually share all this news with him. Plus, we knew that the grant, we would need to tell him that the grant would not cover the costs of actually being an accreditation beta test site. But we felt like it was worth the effort, that it would make a difference, and the benefits would far outweigh the costs. So we set up that meeting. He wasn't even in office 2 weeks, We set up the meeting, two of our deputy commissioners at that time that were also on FAB work groups, we went together and we met with our new commissioner and we basically laid it all out on the table. We carefully went through the benefits and then we laid out the items here that are described, and we received the best answer we could possibly receive from him. He said, okay, I realize we don't have the extra money, but we are going to put it forth for this effort. You have my total support. Move forward. And with that, we took that and ran. And we applied to be a beta test site. And he gave us his full support. The state, along with four county health departments, applied. And we were awarded. We actually had a very unique opportunity in Oklahoma. And that our state, local, and we had a tribal health department, all three venues, we were awarded a beta test site. And that allowed us a lot of opportunity that was very beneficial and would recommend for other states as you're working towards it, to work together towards those efforts. We could really support each other in different venues and move forward towards accreditation. Our beta test site visits at the state were June 14th and 15th. And at our Comanche County Health Department were the following week. And I have to say that we did make sure that Oklahoma stood out in the minds of all the beta test site visitors. We wanted to make sure they would never forget us. And you know how we did it? This was the first day of our beta test site visit. This is what it looked like in Oklahoma. It was quite the adventure. I was getting calls. I'd got out early, barely made it there myself, and was getting calls from staff going, I can't get there. The roads are closed. My car's floating. All sorts of different items. Of course, the site visitors, I'm calling and going, I know you're just too few blocks away, but do you need us to come get you? Can you make it? I can say that Kay Bender was an observer for our site visit. She maneuvered that group through the waters. She did, even though the roads were open when I got there. By the time they had started down, they were already road closures, and they had maneuvered through. Everyone made it there safe and sound, I'm happy to say, and we were able to continue with the site visit. So be flexible was kind of the first thing that we went with, was although hopefully you won't have a great flood like we did, you'll probably have other obstacles that will come along, and you go with the flow and you get everything set up, organized, and prepared, and you just move along. And key strategies that really helped us to be able to do that and keep going and moving forward and going on with our site visit was leadership commitment at all department levels, starting at the top. We went to our Board of Health, made sure we had their full support behind us. We had our commissioners, and that went forward throughout the department. And it was, this is something that's very important that we're expected to do that's going to help us in the future to be a better organization. State, local, tribal working together for success. A core accreditation team and domain leads, absolutely critical. This was something that really helped us in moving forward. We basically set leads and subject matter experts by each of the domains, and it was the way the domains are set up for most organizations, it'll pretty much fit within your organization. You're going to have certain subject matter experts that are going to rise. They set up their teams for that. Those were the people that decided what evidence was the best evidence to pull for that measure, and the ones that would be answering the interview questions by the site visit team. And then a good organizational tracking system. Another key strategy was that we immediately realized that quality improvement was interwoven throughout the standards and measures. The continuous quality improvement cycle, if you go through those domains and standards and measures, you're going to see that process interwoven throughout every one of those, especially kind of the plan, do, check, act cycle. They're really looking for that full cycle of improvement. And it's also, to give it extra emphasis, is given specifically and separately addressed in Domain 9. And they really work interdependently for excellence. Also, this criticality of the Fab 3 core components. You will not even be able to apply unless you have these three core components in place, which are an assessment, a health improvement plan, and a strategic plan. At the state level, we did have these in place. We had a state's health report for our assessment, had overall 33 health status indicators throughout the state and all of our counties, and our step-up performance management system, which then was the evaluation of all of our services with those goals, objectives, and measures that were most critical to the success of the agency. Then the health improvement plan was those statewide partners, our business leaders, traditional and non-traditional healthcare leaders, such as we had transportation and housing, tribal. We really tried to pull together a good cross-section along with the grassroots communities. We went to them, got their input in what were those health things that were most needed, and brought all of that together in our health improvement plan. And then the strategic plan for the agency was that component that specifically dealt with our agency's role in that effort. Challenges. Yes, there were challenges. When you go through this, first of all, the centralized system did create some challenges, although working with FAB to make those easier and better for forthcoming efforts. The three core components for the state, we had. Our counties, we did not. And I'm going to go more into that later. That was something that we saw as critical that we needed to address, because since we'd kind of seen ourselves as one before, now we were going, this is something we really were going to need to step up and assist our counties with so they'd be able to apply for accreditation also. We had a very short documentation collection period, about 3 months, is what we had for the beta test site, so we were moving very quickly and pulling the evidence together. And then, like many of you in your states, due to the economy and the budget cuts, we had an increased workload and declining resources and personnel. But we didn't let that stop us. The staff commitment, I wish you could have seen it. It was really great. Everyone really did work well together, came together. We were all working towards the same goal, knew what was expected, and really put forth the extra effort to get it done. The process actually flowed very well. We set some systems in place that I'll share with you later that really helped it move along and very well in an organized manner with some quality organizational systems that we put into place and that we are working on even improving further at this time. This really served, especially the FAB self-assessment that you do, really served as a very good infrastructure evaluation tool. It went into every area of the agency and has set a standard, and you really were measured up against that standard. And when you did the self-assessment, you really knew pretty much where you stood. There weren't any huge surprises by the site visitors because you'd already done that self-assessment. You knew where your gaps were. You knew where your strengths were and where your weaknesses were. You got further information and input from them, which was really great. But that tool really helped in you knowing that and moving forward. And it really assisted with then addressing those gaps. We've already achieved some improvements from addressing those, and of course we're working on others so that we will be ready for accreditation when it comes out next year. That's our goal, and this has assisted in that effort. And the pride in the organization, even though we didn't get an accreditation slip at the end, which everyone will get that goes through full accreditation next year, the pride in the organization was just a wonderful thing to see because everybody felt really good about the effort that had been put forward, that the strengths that we could see and they were measured against a national standard, and then even the gaps that we were addressing those and moving forward in the right direction. So it was a really good experience. And some lessons learned. Leadership support is invaluable. You've got to have that leadership support from the top throughout the organization to really make it work. The preparation process is critical. It's a lot of work. I'm not going to tell you otherwise. It's a lot of work. There's a lot of documents and collection and evidence that has to be checked and worked through and interpretations. But if you have set standards and organization in place, it can actually flow very well. The regular meetings for the core team were very essential. That we had them every 2 weeks throughout the period, and we kept everyone up to date as to where everyone was, if there were any issues, training on the systems, on the tools, getting them ready for the interviews for when the beta test site visitors came, and that helped everyone feel a lot more relaxed when the actual site visit occurred. The overall standards understood and worked well. For the most part, we could go through those, interpreted them fairly well across the board, and they worked well with the different structures. There are some tweaks that need to be made as far as centralized systems and different types of governances that we're working on with FAB, but for the most part, they worked really well. And one of the most important lessons learned, and because it's so important, it's on your three times, which is documentation, documentation, documentation. If you don't have the evidence, even though you may do it, it doesn't count. I mean, they date everything. If you do something, take quick minutes and notes to record what was done, what was accomplished, who was there, and any improvements that were made, any plans that came out of it, because you will use all of that documentation moving forward, and it must be dated. Any plans that you have, or when they're revised, make sure there is a date on there, on the pages, so that it will be counted forward, because if it's not in written evidence, it doesn't count. So some of those helpful tools and processes I was talking about. First of all, this is our domain leads list. As you can see, we listed each of the domains, and then we actually assigned those out to people who were lead for those areas, and then they put together their team from that and came up with the evidence that was the best for each of those domains and prepared for the interviews. This is the electronic library we set up. If you set up folders for each of your, we had the domains, standards, and measures, and then we put the evidence right into that folder and labeled it by the measure in a numbering system. It made it really easy to keep track of, to find it, to know where you were in regard to that, and to highlight anything if you were trying to just target a specific part of it. These were the cover sheets we used, and the cover sheets were helpful to the site visitors to really explain these are the pieces of evidence that we're providing, and this is how we think it meets the measure. So they didn't have to guess what it was and where it was and where we were coming from. We basically spelled it out and then referred them to the pages in the evidence documentation. And then the tracking system. You're keeping so much track of so many different pieces of evidence and so many different documents that the only way to keep track of it is really list them out, have them all in a database, and state kind of where that is. Are you still missing a certain piece of it? Do you still need evidence here? Are they still providing this piece? Have you got this one completely done and uploaded into the system, ready to go? Just kind of the status as to where you were on each measure, and it helped keep track. And we even color-coded it so we know which ones were done and where we were at different parts along the way. So really quickly, just as so far as some improvements in spread, we thought of ourselves as a centralized structure, as one system. But for accreditation, the county health departments have to have their own three core components. And as I referenced before, that was one of the major areas we knew we needed to assist with our local health departments in providing assistance so that they too would be able to be accredited. So instead, while they were involved in the state plan because they are part of us and we're all one, but they also needed to have the county strategic plan and health improvement plan and assessment. And so we are providing trainings for them to lead them through the process so that it will align to the state, but they will have their own and kind of how to do that. And we're providing quality planning improvement training, MAP training, along with community engagement, meeting effectiveness, strategic and health improvement planning, and step-up performance management system. We're starting with 5 counties. We're working through the process, trying to standardize that while allowing tailoring for specific communities before we push that forward statewide to be available to all of our counties as they try to move forward for accreditation. And so this is the better way, is integrating instead of that we are one and we just have one system and that's the same for all, is really we've worked out a system to try to integrate everything we do so it's all moving in the same direction. And so from the diagram, you can see the individual employee can see that their individual contribution, which is through their performance appraisal, actually is aligned to the county health department and service area strategic plan. So they can see that they have success, that they're helping with success in those areas, along with the community, through the community health improvement plan, which then leads to success at the agency level, with the strategic plan, with the state, and the health improvement plan being aligned, which then you have improvement in the health improvement plan for the state, will lead to success also at the national level with the accreditation standards and the health status at that level. So we've kind of, as it's bi-directional, it does work both ways, to really line out to our employees how everyone's role is and how it all ties together. And so as you can tell from the tone of my voice and from what I presented, I definitely do think that it's worth it. It's a lot of work, but it brought forth such unity and alignment for us and really getting our direction set all together in the same direction that I definitely think it's worth it. Objective assessment to national standards. It's a great strategic planning assessment tool. We took it forward and used it for our new strategic plan, and we knew where our gaps were. Credibility standard of excellence, and most of all, most importantly, quality improvement. It's not that certificate you're going to get that says you're accredited. While that's very important and something that we strive for, what's really important is that we know where we need to make improvement, what we're doing well, we target that for continuous quality improvement to have better health status of our citizens in Oklahoma. And that's what's really important to us. And with that, that's the end of my presentation. So thank you very much.
All right. I am Joy Harris. I'm going to talk to you about our experience in Iowa with the Iowa Department of Public Health. Really quickly, Iowa has a population of just over 3 million people. Our smallest county population-wise has a little over 4,000. Largest county, not quite 500,000. The Department of Public Health is the state agency responsible for public health with a budget of around $227 million, 467 employees, and we also are governed by a state board of health put in place by our governor. The governor actually appoints our health director as well. We are a decentralized state, so all of our 99 counties have home rule law, so they can do it how they best see fit. There's actually 101 local boards of health in those 99 counties that we work with and provide technical assistance to. Boards of health are appointed volunteers, and so that they are going to be responsible for accreditation as we move forward is something that we think about in Iowa quite a bit. Our reasons for applying for the beta test were several. In modernizing public health in Iowa, we've developed Iowa public health standards. And so we have similar experience around standard development, evidence collection, some of those kind of things that we felt like we had good information we wanted to share. We wanted to directly influence the national process. So we didn't just want to sit there and hope that people were telling FAB the things that we wanted them to say. So this way we got the direct line in providing our feedback. We thought it couldn't hurt to have somebody else come in and look at the evidence we presented and tell us how they thought we were doing. I mean, what's the harm in that? It was a good opportunity for our departmental staff to learn more about accreditation, to learn about how they help meet the standards. We feel like it was expected by our local partners that our state health department is willing to do these things and is taking these risks so we can learn better how to help them, which is the next thing, that we need to be ready to prepare technical assistance to local public health departments as they look at preparing for accreditation. I'm going to talk a little bit about the roles of the different people in the organization as it related to the self-assessment, but I think as it also relates to accreditation overall. And my leadership is pretty fantastic, I think, and they're not here, so I'm not saying that under any duress. But they had to do several things. First, they had to give us permission. And by that, I mean they had to say, you need to go and figure out how we're really doing. Don't sugarcoat it. The health director said we needed to do a rigorous evaluation of our ability to meet the standards. In another meeting, he said, this is going to be brutal, but I want to take a brutal look at how we're doing. And so we needed permission to really go to that level of detail. They needed to define their expectations, how we would support the department, how we could juggle our job responsibilities, what role this was to play as we moved forward. They needed to make time for other departmental employees to have educational opportunities around accreditation. We needed to be part of bureau meetings and talk about why this was important. We needed to be with the bureau chiefs and division directors to talk about the importance of this. They were available for problem solving and brainstorming, which is a huge gift. Doesn't take a lot of their time, but for someone to be able to go into their office and say, okay, here's the issue, this is what we found, what do you think? And for them to just kind of work some of those things through. They really needed to think broadly about the organization. Really everyone in the organization does, but for leadership, sometimes it's really easy to say, well, this is what we're doing here, and this is the way it should be done. And they really were looking at the whole department and what we were able to do across the department. And they actually invested in addressing the gaps identified. So making those things a priority, putting some planning in place, setting out some timelines as we discovered what our gaps were. The role of the accreditation team. Again, we need people who are going to be able to think broadly about the department. We had people from each division on our accreditation team, but if they were just looking out for their division, it wasn't going to work. We needed everyone to be able to look at the big picture of the department. And we did a little bit different. We looked everywhere for evidence. We didn't look just in one area of the department. We looked across the department. And it was surprising sometimes where the evidence came from. It was not where we initially would have thought that the evidence would have come from. We asked them to be really objective and honest. We had a lot of evidence to get through. And we needed people who could look at it and say, yes, that's good, or no, that's not good, and not worry about the personalities behind the evidence, the politics behind the evidence. We needed people who could be pretty straightforward. We needed people who'd be willing to prioritize. What's the best evidence that we have? Even if it's not for me, what's the best evidence? And it should be open about subject matter evidence. But again, that whole ability to look at the evidence that you put forth that you know really well and say, yes, that meets the criteria, or no, it doesn't, takes a brave person, because you wanna always be doing your job well. Our accreditation team actually had to facilitate division teams of their own. So they were a member of the department-wide team, and then they went back and facilitated a division-wide team. So they were kind of pulling double duty. They were following and leading all at the same time. And we needed people who could be organized and timely. This was part of our criteria when we picked the members of our accreditation team, people who had that ability. As the accreditation coordinator, I think these are pretty straightforward, but you need to set the schedule. You need to provide the organizational structure, which I'm going to talk about here in a minute. You need to be the person ready to interpret the standards. We found that somebody needed to be able to say, well, this is what this means, or no, this isn't what this means. But the ability to go back to one person to be that source of information was important for us. Someone to define the overall process, orient the accreditation team, and then help them get ready to orient other people because they went back to their divisions. We needed someone who could problem solve. I'm sorry, I'm talking about myself in a weird way. But anyhow, you have to be able to deal with problems as they come up. You have to encourage your team members. I mean, my team members took this on as part of, you know, other duties as described, or as whatever that is. Anyhow, So you need to be able to encourage. I provided food at meetings, you know, whatever I could do to make it a fun atmosphere and stay flexible. Everybody's making this up as we go along. It was part of our agreement that we know we're making this up as we go along, and so we might change midstream, and we're going to be okay with that because we know it up front. The organization or process, these are some of the things that we put in place that I think have been very helpful to us. We had a team charter. You know, some people came to the accreditation team not really knowing why they were there. Their boss said, you are it, and you need to be at this meeting at this time, which happens, I know, not just in the Iowa Department of Public Health. So that really set up who we were, why we were there, what our responsibilities were going to be. It was a good starting place, and we would go back and revisit it. It was also something, a document that we could take back to bureau chiefs, and we could say, look, this is what you signed me up for, so here's the support I'm going to need from you. We also had rules for presenting evidence, and rules is kind of a rough word, but I can't think of another way to put it. But we had processes in place. How many pieces of evidence were going to be okay to submit? We decided no more than five. If we couldn't tell the story in five pieces of evidence, then we probably weren't doing a very good job. We had a process for if something's available electronically versus if it's just available in hard copy. How are we going to handle that evidence? If something was more than one page, that creates problems because you want the site visitor to see what you want them to see right away, not have to scroll through even one page before they found it. We used highlighting to really point site visitors to where we wanted them to go, and we talked a lot about how we were going to provide websites, which I'll show you in a minute. That was a subject of much discussion. We also had helps for them for their division teams, information that they could use in orienting the team, tools for facilitating meetings, those kind of things. We had a shared drive with access controlled, so only people on the accreditation team could get to the folders like Joy showed you. We have a similar system. But there's so much stuff in there, it really scared me that anyone could get in there. And so luckily with the blessing of our IT department, we were able to just get that access to certain people, which was very helpful and made my life a lot easier. Set the schedule for regular meetings. Set it out way in advance, make the expectation that you are going to need to be at these meetings, and here's the schedule. Deadlines are also scheduled. This is when the evidence is going to be collected by, this is when it's going to get through document review, and this is when we're going to say we're not changing this anymore. So those deadlines were in place. I said this before, but we asked everyone to look at all the standards, and experts sometimes need help to be objective. When we're putting something out there for epidemics or prevent epidemics, and the tobacco division person is saying, I don't think that really makes sense, or what's wrong with this other piece of evidence? And that's really hard when it's your program and it's your piece of evidence and you think that it's there. So being open to other folks and other opinions. We did store priority evidence in the official system, like Joyce told you, but I also captured additional evidence so that I would have it if I needed it later. We just used an Excel spreadsheet to track evidence, nothing fancy, but an Excel spreadsheet, and it also allowed us to keep track of what bureau submitted what evidence, because it's been very important for me to go back to each bureau and say, here's how you're helping us. This is the information that we used from you. We may not use it next time, but this is what we did this time. Since this was a more source of much debate in our health department, this is how we decided to handle websites. So this is our website about our community health needs assessment and health improvement plan, the China HIP. And we had a text box at the top of each piece of evidence with just a brief narrative about why we thought that evidence was there. If it was a website, we put the link right there so the site visitors could just click on that and open right into the screen. A screenshot of the page they would see with a big red arrow showing them exactly where we wanted them to look. We wanted to make it obvious about where they needed to go for evidence. Tools that we used. Meeting facilitation tools. PowerPoint slides that were ready to go. Candy packets that they could use for their meetings, whatever we could come up with for them to facilitate their meetings. We did give people a list of what evidence could be. So it could be your policies and procedures. It could be your MOUs. It could be your contracts. It was like a list of 56 different things that could be considered evidence. And that gave people an idea of the kinds of things they could look for. We needed a scanner because some of our evidence was still in hard copy. One of the scanners that we have couldn't scan legal-sized documents, which you would think would be an easy thing to handle, but it took us a while to figure out that there was a scanner that could handle legal-sized documents. So things like that come up. We used Adobe Acrobat for highlighting and reorganizing. Everything had to be put into a PDF. If it was multiple pages, we could, in Adobe, move page 3, where the evidence was, to the top, and then we could have the whole document run behind it so they could see it in context as well. Not something that's standard in the health department. We had to have special permission to have Adobe Acrobat. We had electronic folders for each measure. We used Excel, and we think we had a pretty good process. And so for tools, those are my recommendations. I also did a debriefing with the members of our department who sat down with site visitors. And I asked them these kind of questions. What questions did the site visitors ask you? Because they were with them for like an hour, and they were nervous. And they would say to me beforehand, what do you think they're going to ask me? And I said, I have no idea. Which they love, that answer. But anyhow, I wrote down what questions they got asked. I'm going to better be able to prepare them next time. I'm going to be able to say, these are the kind of things that you told me that they asked you. We asked if they had to provide site visitors additional evidence or explain something previously submitted. Not too many did. What we submitted was kind of what the site visitors took. I asked if any questions that surprised you or didn't feel prepared for. A lot of these were around the organization of our health department or the organization of public health in Iowa. That was something that we really needed to get across, and the site visitors really struggled, I think, to understand how our state might be different because they were from three different states as well. So I know that I need to do some work in preparation for our actual accreditation visit to get ready for those questions. And any research you plan to do as a result of the site visit, there wasn't really any research that anyone felt like they needed to do. They just wanted to be sure that we were ready for next time. But I did go through this process, and I thought it was really helpful, and I hope it will be helpful to me when I go to prep them for the next round. I wanted to talk a little bit about quality improvement and accreditation preparation. What we learned through the beta test process is that quality improvement is already happening in our department, but we don't call it that. And we don't really know that we're doing quality improvement. It's kind of informal. The documentation and the formal use are definitely not there. We have some programs that have specific requirements, thanks Jim, around public health and quality improvement, and they have stuff, but they maybe don't have it formally or in a way that we could present it. So we know that we need to work on formal use, which is going to include formal training in quality improvement for our state health department staff. I think accreditation has introduced quality improvement to the department in a different way. It's not in a silo, and it's not for an individual program. It's about the whole health department when we look at it in preparation for accreditation. So that's opened a lot of eyes in our department about the role of quality improvement and that it can be applied everywhere, and not just because it's a requirement, but because it will help us to serve Iowans better. We really see quality improvement as an opportunity for local and state collaboration. They need to help us improve our processes, and maybe we can help them as well. So it's a chance for us to have joint quality improvement teams as we move forward. One of the things we've decided to do is to build a quality improvement network, and we have around 36 quality improvement champions that have been identified across Iowa, and they are going to be responsible for learning quality improvement tools and then serving as resources for others across the state as we move forward. They just had their first training in October, and so right now we're kind of very selfishly protecting them and feeding them information, and we're practicing things with them. They're going to have a train-the-trainer training in January, and at that point we're going to feed them a little more information, and then we really do want to turn them loose to help the larger kind of public health system in Iowa. We also see preparing local health departments for accreditation as kind of a defining role for the state health department. This is big. This is something that we really need to take seriously and we really need to be ready for. We know that technical assistance can't just come from one area. It can't just come from me. It can't just come from environmental health or any other division. It's got to come from across the department. So we have a lot of people that we need to educate and be talking to about this. We know, and this just verified, that local health departments are looking for tools and instructions on how to begin. They're ready. If we're holding them back, then that's our own fault. We need to get them what they need to get started. And we feel the pressure. They need assistance to problem solve, brainstorm, and plan. Just sitting down and having coffee, phone calls, webinars that are pretty informal with people who are interested in moving towards accreditation. We also know that we need to have consistent messages about accreditation available for them to use. They are a key audience of ours. They have several key audiences they need to get to, and we can help them with those communication messages because they don't have time in a lot of cases to do that. And so we have a communication subcommittee made up of local and state public health practitioners that are working on these messages and trying to make sure that they're consistent. And I also wanted to point out that how we as a state health department assist is pointed out in some of the standards. Some of the things that the state health department is required to do to support local public health standards where there's no local equivalent. So that's also kind of an interesting place to look at what the role of the state health department should be in accreditation. Final lessons learned. There's a lot in the details. I mean, details count. We talk a lot about documenting just to document and what a pain that is, but I think if we can look at details and document smart, not just document to document, that's kind of the way that we're trying to lean. We think that you can give too much information. That's something that we've learned through the Iowa system, which is why we limit it to 5 pieces of evidence or less. Because sometimes you can give them 3 great pieces of evidence, you give them a 4th, and they will say to you, honestly, well, you know, you had me with the first 3, but that last one wasn't very good. I wish you wouldn't have put it in there. Then you're like, oh, sorry. You know, but the sorry doesn't take away the fact that they looked at it. Watch that you have evidence dated. Joyce told you this, but I'm going to tell you this again, and Donna, I'm sure, will tell you this again, but date things. Put a footer on it. It's not going to hurt you. It'll take 3 seconds, and you will be so happy that you did. We learned that we really did know our own gaps. We were familiar with them. We knew them as we did the self-assessment process. And so if you want to start and you don't have the opportunity to bring in another body to look at what you've produced, our experience was that when we did the brutal, rigorous self-assessment, we really did know what our gaps were. We need to remember that every part of the department needs and wants to be counted. It's easy just to spotlight a few programs that are doing things really well, but everyone really needs to be part of the bigger picture. And my advice to you, if you're looking at beginning, is not to think big, but to really just look at your website, your policies, your meeting minutes, your job descriptions. Is all the stuff that you need to be accredited in there? Is all the information a site visitor needs going to be there? We have a fact sheet on our website that says it's from 2002, you know? And they're like, well, you have something from 2002 on your website. Oh, so just going in and reviewing, okay, so is it still relevant? It was, but it's still, the date was 2002. So that doesn't look so good. So anyhow, that's my advice. I think that's a really simple way to get started. You don't need a lot of leadership support to start in that way, but to take kind of an informal look at your department in that way. And this is my contact information.
Okay, now we're going to take a trip southeast and head down to the state of Florida. I'm going to be sharing some similar characteristics that Joyce and Joy shared with you, and some we had new unique, and it was because of the process we used, which I will share with you. But first of all, I want to talk about the Florida Department of Health. We are a large, complex, centralized organization like Oklahoma, but we are unique in ways too. We have 67 counties. We have 67 county health departments. And each one of those county health departments are responsible for the health of their community. But those health departments, they report to the state health department, as well as they report to a local board of county commissioners. They almost have to satisfy both, put in between the two. And they actually are counties, as you can tell from the map, range in varying sizes. Interesting, till about 6 months ago, we actually only had three sizes, small, medium, and large. And then they decided we needed to go to extra large, but they came with metro instead of extra large, thinking that sounded better. But we actually have seven counties that are metro, and our counties vary in size from anywhere from our smallest county has 12 FTEs, and our largest county has over 800 in Miami-Dade County Health Department. So we actually range in very diverse state. 25% of our employees are actually located in our county health departments. They are actually state employees. And then you can see the other functions that we have as a health department as well. We do not do mental health. We do do environmental health, just like, unlike what Joyce said. And we do not have a Medicaid with our agency. It's in a separate, but it brings its challenges in itself with the large organization. Our mission is a very broad mission. As you can see by the wording of all people. And it becomes especially a challenge when you consider the population and the number of visitors annually. Now, can anybody tell me what that's a picture of? Walt Disney World, did I hear somebody say? That's where a lot of the visitors are going every year that we see. So between that, when our mission being so broad, it can become very much of a challenge. Some say we have an impossible mission, which is why I wanted to share this next one with you, considering the Walt Disney thing that we have to say we truly, it's fun to always do the impossible following with that. But it is very broad, and we have to consider a lot of aspects in it. We had actually thought about applying when it came out, and we had actually decided not to apply as a state health department. And the reasons were many. We were getting ready to do the National Public Health Performance Standards statewide. There was something called H1N1 that people were remembering. There was something called Operation Haiti Relief, which when the earthquake happened, a lot of the patients were coming to Florida. We had budget constraints, we were losing staff, and we decided now's not a right time to do it. And what happened is when the applications went out, 17 of our local health departments applied to participate in the beta test, which is about 25% of them. So we said, now wait a minute, how does that look if we say you guys go right ahead and do that and try it, see what happens, but as a state health department, we don't. So this is now, let me date myself, we are 1 week and 1 hour prior to the application due date. To participate. It's a Friday afternoon at 4:30. And I go in and I say, you know what, we may need to rethink this because with 25% of our locals, what does it look like being a centralized organization that we don't support them? The first thing they said is you're crazy. The second thing they said is let's think about it. So to make a long story short, we did apply. We actually had the state surgeon general, who is the head of our department, her approval and the governor's approval within a week when we submitted the application right on time, but at least we got it in on time. So when we decided to do it, that we were behind the clock and against the clock. The clock was ticking. But what we decided to do, because we had decided not to participate and do, we agreed in the Office of Performance Improvement, the department actually has and funds an office that supports quality improvement initiatives throughout the department. And we've had that office for almost 15 years. And we decided that we would take on the lion's share of work because we changed our mind at the last minute. And central office, the state health department, had said to us, beginning, they agreed that we didn't want to do it. So going to them a week prior to it, they were like, we've got so many things going on. So we said, we'll go through, we'll do the lion's share of work. So the process we used was different than what you heard from Joyce and Joy, and it impacted us a lot. But when we decided to take on the coordination role, the first thing we did was started planning. These are the goals that we came up. We actually wanted to prepare the state health department as well as those interested local health departments to participate and be ready to participate in national accreditation for real, if you will, in 2011. We also wanted to demonstrate improvement in performance. The reason that's key for us is that we have a quality improvement infrastructure in the Department of Health and have had for over 20 years. So we didn't want this to be seen as something different. So now we're doing, are we doing national accreditation or are we doing performance improvement? And we wanted to show that it's both. We're doing national accreditation and we'll use that information to help us improve. So we had to show the alignment there. And we also felt, I think just like Joy said, we wanted to, thought we might as well have input on something that's coming nationally to look at public health across the nation. Because we had, and to let you know, we have the state health department and we had our largest county health department, Miami-Dade, that was selected to participate. Because there were 16 county health departments that did not get selected to participate in the beta test, we wanted to keep the interest and momentum going. And so what we did is we actually created a Department of Health Accreditation Collaborative. And the way we solicited the interest was using a sports theme. We actually did the play, we asked people if you want to be a player or a fan. The player was, I want to actually go through just like I was selected to participate in the beta test, but I wasn't. And the fans were, I don't have the time to devote to that, but I do want to keep up to date on what's happening. As you can see from this map, we have 10 players and 21 fans, even after. This is still currently active. Some of the activities that we do, we have regular communication, keeping them up to date on what's happening with the beta test, as well as participation with the state health department, as well as our local health department. The other thing we're doing is actually we are having a WebEx series, and we are actually completing the self-assessment with the players, actually walking through the standards and measures, sharing evidence, sharing ideas for evidence. And as a state health department and the local health department, as we participated in the beta test, we were actually able to share with them our experience as well as share some strength and support of evidence that the site review came back of you're strong in these areas. Since we are a centralized organization and some of the information can be shared at both the state and local, we wanted to save them time. And by doing this, they wouldn't have to go research as much. They would still be able to utilize the information to show how they implemented at the local level. The linkage to quality improvement, I talked about our quality improvement infrastructure. We have a Department of Health performance improvement process. And again, this is how we wanted to show that it is what you see on the left that drives public health departments to continuously improve. That is what you will see from national accreditation. So we wanted to show how it connects and show that it's not two separate. We're now not turning our back on performance improvement, but we're actually going to utilize national accreditation to use that information to help us improve. Wanted to share with you, I know Joyce and Joy talked to you about time commitment, but I wanted to share some actual numbers with you. This is what we documented in the time that it took us to participate in the beta test. You will see most of our time was spent in collecting documentation. But let me put a little disclaimer on there, and it was because of the process we used. Remember, we took on the lion's share of work in the Office of Performance Improvement. So the method we use, the process is we actually went to any our internal, external websites, as well as any SharePoint sites we had to see what information was there. Actually, a recommendation that Joy had made. We actually did that, and that's where we gathered the evidence. So we gathered the evidence and then actually filtered through it, to see what was the best evidence ourselves. We did not involve the subject matter experts until a little bit later in the process. So we probably spent more time collecting documentation than we would have. The other, you can see the second, was actually participating in the site visit. This includes preparing for the site visit. Because of the process we used as well, we had to prepare the senior leaders and those who were going to be interviewed for participation in the site visit. We didn't tell them what to say, but we wanted them to know what to expect and to be very familiar with the evidence that we had submitted. You can see the third was planning. We did that initially, and planning is very key for us. It's something that we do for the organization, so it was something we took to heart here. Even though we spent a lot of time doing it, this quote, I think, says a lot about what we felt like that we got out of it. If you keep, you have to persevere through it. It is a lot of information, but you do get something in the end. And what we felt like is that the time that we put in was definitely worth the effort. And just to share with you some of those things that we thought we got, we actually got a very extensive, thorough review of our organizational processes that we had. Part of it going through the self-assessment, and then it was validated by the site visit team. That external validation helped us see. We were actually not surprised by any of our strengths or opportunities for improvement because we had judged ourselves hard, as Joya talked about. We wanted to make sure it was a true picture. Our goal was to say that what we scored ourselves, that we would at least get that from the site visit team to say that we had really taken an honest look. It provided us an opportunity to recognize strengths and celebrate successes, those things that we were doing well. It provided us with data to use for improvement, which I'll share with you just a little bit later, some that we've done. And as a state health department, since we are a centralized organization, it put us in a much better position to help our local health departments. Much easier to talk about it once you've gone through it than when you haven't gone through it, to be able to know the time commitment it takes to do it. So having our local health department as well as the state health department being able to provide those resources and truth with our other local health departments has paid off. Some of the lessons learned, I don't think Joyce or Joy, neither one did not say this. They both said that leadership was critical, just as we found it to be. Leadership was critical throughout the process. It was critical to keep things moving. It was critical because guess what? Other priorities come in when you're right smack in the middle of it. And so the other competing priorities come up, and you need to have leadership that says, no, we're going forward. We must continue with this to have a focus. We also found that planning, preparation was critical. It helped us. Planning comes easy for us because what we do on a daily basis. But planning, we had planned out and actually were able to save time in the end, not the process we used, but it helped us get to where we wanted to go in a timelier fashion. The other thing we found is that the domains and standards were familiar to staff. The 10 essential public health services are very familiar to staff and it's part of what we do. So it wasn't a hard sell when they looked at it and said, this is part of what we do on a daily basis. Finally, somebody's asking me about that, not asking me how I do with customer satisfaction or something else. So it actually provided a lot of momentum for staff to, and it wasn't hard to sell for them at all. I also think it actually provides guidance for good business practices. If you look through the domains and the standards and the measures, you'll find good guidance for administrative functions, planning, quality improvement. Just as examples, there are others, but just as examples, you'll see that. Our team coordination approach worked well. Now, Joy and Joyce have talked a little bit about theirs, but we actually had a coordinator, our accreditation coordinator, we did as a team because we were doing most of the work. So we had to be very familiar with all the measures and standards. We were doing it for ourselves at the very beginning before we involved the subject matter experts. But what we found is that doing this worked well. It provided us a broader support and personal resources. It helped us get through a time of unexpected health issues that, if if the accreditation coordinator, if we hadn't had that, we would have had to bring somebody up to speed very quickly. We were able to not miss a beat and keep going. And the other thing we found, which I think that my colleagues have said as well, is that organizational skills and strong attention to detail is critical. There's a lot of detailed information that you have to gather through the process. I think I've mentioned this, that subject matter experts, what we did find is that if we would involve them earlier, knowing we would have saved a lot of time and probably saved the number of documents that we submitted. We did not limit 5, as Joyce said. Let me say, we were not the highest that the documents that we were submitted, but we were number 2. And have been talked about that point. We also found that having a central location to store the evidence of Joy and Joyce have talked to you about as well was really beneficial and essential, and I'm going to share just a little bit about that with you. We determined our method to collect, organize, and store our information early in the planning process. One thing we knew is that we had to keep the end in mind. We had to figure how we were going to get the information and store it, so we thought about this early. We didn't have resources to buy any software programs, so we actually did it in Excel, as they have talked about, as well as we used our shared drive just to store the information. We created domain folders, just like you see, and I think they've said. And we also, within each of those domain folders, had the supporting documentation. One thing that we created was an evidence template, and this is something that we use to actually capture everything in one place. We utilized this tool to actually gather the evidence. This is where everybody went and put the information in. And we also used the same tool to help us analyze it and see, was it the best information to submit? Believe it or not, we had more information to submit than we did submit, even though they didn't believe it when we had a huge number. And I'll share with you that we submitted 829 documents. Yeah. Think what our site visit team did. But we also used this to help us analyze it, trying to look through and say the date requirements. Both Joy and Joyce mentioned that. But also, we had an internal policy that our policies should be updated every 2 years. So even if the requirement was longer than that, as an internal requirement, we had that. And I have to say, Joy, I'm sorry, but we trump you. We had a policy that was dated 1900, which I thought, it's a joke. And they went, no, it's not a joke. So needless to say, that was an opportunity for improvement for us, right on the spot. Not that they all were, but there were ones in there with that. But we found this. The other thing we did with this tool is this is the tool we used to keep a record of what we had submitted and what we had not. So we kept it all in one location. Now, we kept it on the shared drive, and then once we had it ready to go, we actually posted it to our SharePoint site so anybody in the department could have access to the information and actually see it. The evidence templates for all domains are available on the ASTO website for you to use and adapt in any way that you find useful. The other thing we created is, remember, we have a big focus on quality improvement, and I shared with you that we wanted to use this information. So we actually created an analysis of our self-assessment. We actually took our scores, looked at what we had done, and came up with our own methodology to come up with strengths, potential strengths, opportunities for improvement, and potential opportunities for improvement, and we did this for all the measures. And then we actually utilized that information and created a prioritization matrix to help us narrow the focus on what we wanted to work on and help us narrow the focus on what things we wanted to prioritize to address, considering various factors. Now, I share these factors with you. This is just what we use, but you could take it and modify it to use for yourself. But we said, does it align with the executive management priority? The time frame, whether it was short-term or long-term. Is there plans or activities already in place to do something with that? If there is, there's no need to start something else. And then we also looked at the reach. We looked at, did this have an impact across domains, or did it just impact one domain. And this document, this prioritization matrix, helped us pick what we wanted to focus on. This document, as well as the analysis, a template, is actually on the ASTA website as well that you can use. We actually use the National Accreditation Process for Improvement in a multiple ways. One is we actually use the results in our infrastructure grant proposal. A couple things we're going to be working on is improving our state health improvement planning process as well as our workforce development plan. And then we also utilized the process. We're currently going through an evaluation and justification review as a state health department. We're having to look and we're actually having to redo and restructure the state health department. And we wanted to make sure that when we restructured ourselves that we didn't hurt ourselves and not be able to be really available and ready to apply for accreditation and obtain accreditation status in the future. The other thing we did is we actually used the domains, standards, and measures in a county health department assessment process that we do for our local county health departments. When there is a new leader that comes into our county health department, we actually send a team of peers from across the state that goes to the county health department and actually does just an assessment of the functioning, the overall functioning. And we actually use the standards and measures to help us create that assessment tool, thinking that it will give them their overall functioning as well as we'll be able to say, if you're interested in applying for a national accreditation, here's where you stand. So that's just an example of uses of it. Just to share with you what we've done, and we wanted to share this information with our organization again, too. We told them it was about performance improvement. So because we told them it was about performance improvement, we wanted to show some results. So to share with you, we've actually improved the percentage. Remember the policy dated back to 1900? It's no longer there. I can tell you that. I looked for that one for sure. But we have to improve the percentage of policies updated timely by 12% in 8 weeks. And then we're actually currently working on improving the content and accessibility to local services on our website. Both of these were opportunities that were identified through our self-assessment as well as the site visit validation. Overall, the process was beneficial. There's a lot of effort that you put in it, but it provided us with an opportunity to take a look as our department as a whole and be able to say, how are we functioning together? For the first time, when people get together, a lot of times our programs are busy doing program things and not getting together talking about how we're all functioning together to meet our mission. And this provided us the opportunity to do this, which helped build the momentum of staff. And that's it, sir.
Great. Thank you.
Sure.
Would you please join me in thanking the panel one more time for their great job. I'd like to ask you to stand up so that we could take advantage of the recording, and then if we have to swap back and forth to do the microphone, so feel free to stand up and we'll take your questions that you have. I don't know about you, but I learned one thing that'll be a personal value to me. When I came in here, I was wearing an extra large shirt. Now I'm wearing a Metro shirt. You gotta love that. So we'd like you, since this is a nice small group, to introduce yourself with your question. So there's got to be something on your mind, so let us know.
Hi, I'm Jill Hunsaker-Ryan with the Colorado Planning Office, and this was great. Thank you. Well done. So my question is, I'm familiar with the standards, but I'm a lot less familiar with the process, and it sounds like the site visit is going to be part of the accreditation process, as opposed to just, originally I was under the impression they were coming in because you were beta test sites. And seeing how it went, but it sounded like no, it's the other, anybody who does this is going to get a site visit, and that's how they evaluate. Is that the case?
Yes, that's correct. Yes, so that's a part of, that's actually the culminating event, and with regard to your preparation, it gets reviewed and assessed. That group goes back and makes a recommendation. The board would take that recommendation and make the judgment as to whether or not you were accredited, the board would.
How many days is that on average? Site visit.
Two and a half. For the beta test site, they did it within 30 days.
You're talking about how long they last?
Yeah, how long they were there.
Oh, they were there. 2 days.
3 days. Okay.
2.5 to 3 days.
And it depends on the size of the organization.
Right. And feel free to come to the mic if you do get a direct question, okay? Introduce yourself, please.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Eskridge from Clackamas County Public Health, and that's in Oregon, sort of suburb of Portland. And I'm an accreditation coordinator for our county, and we're interested in doing this, so this has just been so helpful, actually, one of the best sessions on accreditation I've been to this week. I've been to a lot of them, so really
For those of you listening to the recording, this is one of the best sessions at APA. Great. The question is about pushback from colleagues and education of colleagues.
From our perspective in Florida, because of the process we use when we agree to take on the lion's share of work, there's nothing like learning the measures when you're doing the work yourself. So it was actually us who was going through. We spent time on learning about the process itself, and then we actually walked through the standards and measures using the interpretive guidance one time. And then we started collecting evidence. By the time we got through, we had looked at those standards and measures multiple times. Now, let me try to, I'm talking from a different perspective because of the process we used. But the other thing we found is we had some early adopters in the state health department, even though we agreed to do the lion's share. There were some people who said, I'm very interested in accreditation. We said, come on, the invitation's always open. So we got the early adopters in, and then they start selling it to their peers and start talking to them about the difference it makes and what they found and the benefit it was to look. So that's just from a Florida perspective what we did.
Well, I think what Donna said was very clear, but we also really used the 10 essential services and walking them through the domains. That seemed to be very helpful in the whole wheel and how it ties in, because the domains are really directly those 10 essential services plus governance. So if they can understand that, they can clearly see how they link to the domains. And then we told them, you know, this has to do with this item, and we went through each one of them, and then, like Donna said, we did go through the interpretation guidelines from there, but that really helped them match it up in a simple manner without having to go through the as much detail, and they could relate to it.
And my experience was we really had to show people where they fit. You know, this is where you help the department meet the standards. These are some that I think would be interesting to you. As we looked at the broader perspective. And we also just had 5 to 10 minutes where we had a standard spiel that we would go and do at regular bureau meetings or meetings of smaller groups where they felt they were with their people and felt safe to ask questions about what this means and what's expected of us and all of those kind of things. And then with my accreditation team, we actually, at the end of every meeting, we looked at, okay, this is the next section of the standards we're going to, and we would breeze through them in about 10 or 15 minutes and talk about what they meant before I sent people out to start gathering evidence. So we was regularly checking in with our core team kind of before and after they'd collected evidence about what the standards meant. That's what I can think of.
Great. Next question.
Okay, I have.
Please introduce yourself. Okay.
I have at least two questions, maybe less. But for starters, can you tell us, like in our local public health department, we don't have a specific division of planning, for instance. So quickly looking at your contact information, can you just each kind of share what your discipline-specific background was, and if you have any sense of, I'm just trying to get a sense of like in various places that did beta test sites, you know, what kind of people or background might be helpful to do this, and I understand like the whole team approach. Everybody's helpful to do it, so I know that's going to be the answer. But for each of you specifically, it'd be really helpful to know a little bit about your background, because you just did a fabulous job. I mean, it's very impressive. So that's the first question. And then I guess kind of like my colleague over here, I'm a little confused now about what is the process going forward. Like, where would the local health department next kind of jump on to this process? Like, I've heard a couple mentions about 2011, but I don't know exactly when in 2011, and kind of like what is the process going forward from here? So those are two for right now.
Okay, the two questions are, what does it take to sort of pull together this leadership? Discipline-specific backgrounds the folks have in this offices that lead performance management, and then what are the next steps? So I'll take a stab at the next steps while you're thinking about that. The next steps about this are your own assessment of your readiness, and you have to determine that. There are lots of tools and advice on the FAB website regarding that, on the NATRO website as a local, and also on the ASTO website. And so I encourage you to become familiar with that information. FAB is looking through the evidence, is going to tweak, I'm guessing, standards and measures and the governance section. And there will be a launch of invitation to apply for voluntary national accreditation for public health departments in the latter part of 2011. So I think you can look from any time mid-August on for that opportunity to present itself. Now, I want to make one thing clear about that. When you decide to do that, you start a clock ticking on doing a self-assessment. You don't walk in the door on that day with a self-assessment. So that's a very important concept to keep in mind. So you have to have all your ducks aligned and be ready to go when you make that commitment, and then you start your self-assessment if supported by FAB. So look for those details as they come forward.
As far as the background, and it seemed you were talking kind of about who, as far as the accreditation coordinator, is that, okay. As far as the background, what's very helpful is that, you know, they do have performance management, strategic planning type background. What's also very important that we found essential, and I have to introduce really quickly, my cohort in crime is here. Neil Hand in the back, can you wave your hand? He's the chief of community development service. Also, it's very helpful, we learn to, you need someone that has a broad knowledge of the agency or the local health department of all areas of it, because even though, you know, like Florida did the lion's share as far as they pulled together the evidence, we gave those to the subject matter experts, but we still had to review every piece of evidence. Neil and I did review every piece of evidence, and we had to know, did it meet the interpretation? Was it what was being looked for? And understand, have a broad enough knowledge to understand what they were presenting and what was being looked for. So it kind of takes a unique combination there to be able to kind of do that coordination. And in those roles, Neil and I were able to work well together to have that broad knowledge in doing that.
Can I just ask a quick follow-up question on that?
Sure.
So in our health department, we have, it's broader than public health, it's like public health, mental health, substance abuse, kind of, in California they call it kind of a super agency because it has
right. Accreditation, she had a question for the recording in relation to as far as super agencies that combine public health, mental health, and other aspects. Some of that you can include in the accreditation part. It centers around public health, but the broad sense of public health. So there are some environmental health components, and where you could pull in some mental health evidence, but it really centers around those 10 essential services of public health and then the governance of those services. You're welcome.
Anybody else want to talk about the discipline part?
I also want to talk really quickly. We were at a conference in October, and Kay Bender was talking about preparing for FAB's process. And one of the things that she said is, if you want to start looking at how you meet the standards, you need to just look at it broadly for right now, because some of those specific numbers and things are going to change. So now is not the time to start collecting evidence. So some of the things that we talked about, making sure that things are dated and things are up to date, if I were you and I was just looking at this, that's where I would start until they come out with the official stuff, so that you haven't done a bunch of stuff that you have to redo. She was pounding that in October, so I feel pretty safe in handing it over to you. Okay, so as far as accreditation coordinator, I'm in charge of developing an accreditation system for our local public health and state public health department, so I think that's why I was the accreditation coordinator. But one of the things I just want to say at the that Joy said as well is that I had a pretty good relationship with lots of people across the department, and I had a history in the department. I think to be a brand new accreditation coordinator, brand new to the department, would be very difficult. You need relationships with people across the department. So I did want to say that too.
I think another helpful thing is someone that's knowledgeable about your organization, whatever it looks like, whether it's a super agency or not a super agency, but whatever your organization looks like, they need to be aware of that so they know how different pieces fit together. What I was looking for, NACHO actually put out an accreditation coordinator duties, and that actually includes the consideration of knowledge, skills, and abilities. It suggests those for the accreditation coordinator. So I know it's on their website that you have, but if you want to look at it, I've got a copy up here if that will help you to look at.
Great. I'd like to take, we have time for one more short direct question. So who would like to ask a question that hasn't asked one? That would be. Go ahead. Okay, the question was, you said it wasn't covered in your budget in Oklahoma to prepare for the beta test. The question is, how much does it cost for accreditation? I'll take one stab at this. It's uncertain at this point in terms of any kind of accreditation application fee that's being reviewed by FAB, and we'll know more about that later this year. We don't know what kind of credit or allowances will be provided and as a condition as part of that, so there may be some benefit or incentives and that sort of thing that reduce that, whatever that ends up being. But let me defer to the group here to talk about the costs of preparing the materials and the like, in this case of the beta test.
As far as the dollars, that is being calculated at this time. They're pulling together all that information from the beta test sites. What we gave them was personnel time, hours spent, any additional costs as far as resources, materials, and those type of things. That information is still being gathered. But I can tell you, you know, the grant that was received for a beta test site was just under about $28,000, and that was gone the first month. so it takes a significant amount of time. It's something you have to commit to up front, because everyone's busy and has their full role, but it's something that you have to make the time for. It wasn't a thing we were given additional time to do or additional dollars or resources. It was really about prioritization as far as for Oklahoma.
All right, so if you again join me in thanking the panel, and thank you for joining us today.